got a question for you all. On Zoom as well, I got a question for everybody. Is your worship for real? Look, raise your hand if your worship is for real. Amen. Thank you, Lord God, for true worshipers. Say amen to that. That's what he's seeking. Amen. God is looking for true worshipers. But you know what I've observed, saints, in the body of Christ concerning worship? You know what I observe? From church to religions to denominations, even to just individuals, most in the body of Christ think that their way of worshiping is better than your way. You should be representing God the same way we do. That's what many think. The attitude is what we're doing is more holy than what you're doing. Amen. God gave us an example today. Look at the table set up, a whole different setting. But because our worship is for real, amen, we just set in the social setting. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The main reason is Christ. Oh, the attitude is we're doing a more holier thing than you're doing. And God requires holiness. Yes. And even our church's name, holiness, and yours is not. I just see this in the body of Christ all the time. Amen. But the truth be told, saints, at the end of the day, I just want to do God's will. I want to do it his way. I want to be pleasing to God. That's true worship. Amen. I don't know what you all are doing with this and that, but I just know that's the goal. That's it. We got to get that in our spirits. True worship, saints. And we all have our own ideas and preconceived notions of how God should be worshiped. And again, we think it's better than everyone else. Say, but God. God requires us to worship him a certain way, saints. And here's the main way. I'm going to show it to you in the scriptures. I want to get right to these scriptures today. So if you will, turn in your Bible to John chapter 4. Talking about true worshiper. Amen. Our worship is for real. Say hallelujah to that. Hallelujah. We don't have no problem saying hallelujah. Giving God the highest praise. Amen. John 4 and verse 23 says, but the hour cometh. And now is, it's right now, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. That's what God is interested in. Amen. He wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, what does that look like? I want you to notice something in the scripture. First, I want you to notice the word spirit. See this word spirit? It's not capitalized. So that's not the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's talking about the human spirit. Amen. See, true worship takes place in a heart. It's not talking about ceremonial things that we do. A worship service. That's not what it's talking about. It's saying, do you really love the Father in your heart and desire to please him? That's true worship. Huh, that's the truth. Spirit and in truth. See, the will of true Christians is to do what God wants them to do. That's our will. We diligently search the Bible to find the will of the Father, and then we walk in it. True worship. Amen. The Father seeketh such to worship him. That's who he's looking for. The person who obeys the word. Obedience. Amen. You all remember this one says obedience is better than sacrifice. That's not just a saying, saints. Why the fact, let's look at one of those instances in the scriptures. This is where it really came from. Turn quickly to 1 Samuel 15. God wants us to obey him, saints of God. Some people think he just speaks to be heard. God speaks to be obeyed. Amen. 1 Samuel 15, look at verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. King Saul, who the people wanted, told the prophet Samuel, the man of God, I obeyed God's voice. Because Saul was telling him, no, you didn't. But he said, yes, I did. And have gone the way which the Lord sent me. Not only did I obey him, but I went where the Lord sent me. This is what Saul is saying. And have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Yes. That's where he went off course. Yes. He didn't say bring no king back. He said, I want you to go and tell them Amalekites and kill everything. But he decides to keep the best things. Yes. He brings the king back. And Samuel had just told King Saul that he disobeyed God. But Saul said, nope, I obeyed God and destroyed the Amalekites and brought back the king. God told Saul to destroy everything, saints. Everything. The flock, the children, the everything, the woman, all the Amalekites. Those were enemies of God. Amen. Look at verse 21. He says, but the people took of the spoil. What is he doing now? Playing a blame game. The people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. So the people, according to Saul, who was in charge? Right. Saul, he was the king. Right. Who did God tell, give the instruction to? The king. Amen. This reminds me of the day in our marriages. But my wife, she said, what did God tell you to do? Y'all ain't going to miss this in here today, men of God. I'm always preaching this to you. You can do whatever your wife tell you to do, long as it don't conflict with what God tell you to do. Other than that, you keep that peace. Amen. You want to do that, baby? Fine, we'll do it that way. But if God gave you an instruction, that's what you got to do. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So Saul played this blame game and said the people did it. He didn't take responsibility for his own actions. That's right. He blamed it on the people. Yeah. I promise you we do that today. You know where we got it from? Adam. He came out the gate. God came. Adam, what have you done? This woman you gave me. That's the blame game, men of God. We don't do that. Amen. Huh? God comes to the king. Who's the king? The man. Y'all know any women kings? No. Okay. The man is the king, the priest of the home. Amen. Amen. So he gives you the instruction. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You look at verse 22. And Samuel said, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Y'all get that in y'all spirit quickly. Samuel's telling the king, to obey God is better than what you all think. Oh, we gonna sacrifice this good stuff. You know, we can't destroy this real good stuff. And we're going to take it back, and we're going to then sacrifice it to God. God didn't tell you to do that. See, it's bad when we lean on our own understanding. Amen. Just do what God tells us to do. Amen. Yeah. Look at verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he have also rejected thee from being king. That's what we don't want, kings. Huh? Oh, well, I'm not going to bear. I'm just going to keep doing what I want to do. I'm just going to keep doing. God is going to reject you. He don't have any respect of persons. God is looking for true worshipers. Huh? The ones that have worshiped him in spirit and in truth, obeying the word. See, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are all one in spirit. The Father, the Son, Jesus is the Word. That's right. Amen. In this place, it says the Word, that's Jesus. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are all one in spirit. And only the spirit of man can truly worship this God who is a spirit. Amen. Amen. So if we submit our will to the Father like Jesus did, how does he submit his will? Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I'm not going to do it my way, but I'm going to obey the way you told me to do it. Is it any other way? Yeah, go and ask the question when it looked tough for you. Is it another way I can get out of this? Is it any other way? Then do this. Nevertheless, Lord, I'm not going to get ready to disobey you and do it my way. I'm not going to do that anymore. Not my will, but your will be done in my life. Oh, that's true worship right there. When you do that, we'll be worshiping him the way he would have us to do. Spirit and truth. That's how he seeks us to worship him. All right, let's go back to John 4 where we started. And we're going to go to verse 24. It says, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It said the same thing verse 23 says. It just tells us again. See, many in the body of Christ think that their worship is better than everybody else's. Again, I see this across the board. I think that's why God put this in my spirit. We do this and you all do that and ours is better. It might be for you, but it's different strokes for different folks. All we want to do is hear God and obey him. True worship. True worshipers, saints, seek the will of God for their lives and then do it. That's a true worshiper. That's who God is looking for. See, in our worship service, we do this and you do that. We're true worshipers. That's just how it goes, saints of God. We seek the will of God and do it. And it's important to know God's will for your life. That's what our Bible studies have been on. Amen. We've been talking about what is the purpose? Why did God send you here? You need to know that. Amen. If you're worshiping him, you need to know why you're worshiping him. And when you worship him and read his word, you're going to run into your purpose. He's going to show it to you. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It affects what you do and what you sacrifice to God. That's right. Hearing, knowing, and doing. Say amen to that. Now let's look at this in the Old Testament, saints. Here's a perfect example of obedience and sacrifice. Amen. Turn to Genesis chapter 4 and look at verse 1. It says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Something about those boys, isn't it? It is, woman. I mean, not to say they don't love their daughters, because they do. But boy, when that boy comes, they know how to spoil him. Say amen to that, Lady Z. Amen. I ain't hear Lady Z say nothing on that. But men want a son, too, to carry out their name. But women really know how to spoil them boys. Amen. You a mama's boy. They used to say that about me. I sure was. My mama knew how to spoil me. Take my brother, get out of her lap. Sit in my mama's lap. She knew how to spoil me. Look at verse 2. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now she got two boys, Cain and Abel. Amen. So we have two respectable occupations these boys had. Because back then, most people, that's how they subsisted, through a combination of both of those things. Right. They kept sheep and cattle and all that, and they had crops. That's right. So we have two young men that were working. They had jobs. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So Cain brought God an offering of fruit from the ground. Amen. Verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. So Abel brought God the first of his flock and the best of it. And God respected that. Huh? He respected Abel's offering. Look at verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. All right, you know we got to answer the pink elephant in the room. $6 million question. Why did God have respect for Abel's offering, but no respect for Cain's offering? The Lord showed me this yesterday. It was so beautiful. It was in real time. Amen. God was really setting up his offering system because of sin. Y'all listen to me carefully. See, he required back then a blood offering. And as time went on, that's what they would offer, goats or lambs, when they because of to cleanse their sin. Amen? These were the flock, which could provide a blood offering. That's what God required. But let's look at Cain's offering again. It was fruit of the ground. And it wasn't even the first fruit. When we read about Cain, it says he brought the firstlings of his flock and the best and the fat thereof. But here is Cain just bringing him fruit of the ground. God required a blood sacrifice. Amen. But you all heard this saying, you can't get blood from a turnip. That's where that came from. God wanted a blood offering and you bringing him turnips. Right? Fruit from the ground. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Listen to this, people of God. God requires things a certain way. Don't bring them anything. Amen. Some of us do that. We bring them anything. You ought to be glad I brought you that. So that's some attitude. Amen. Give God what he requires. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He required that blood offering because he knew his plan was to make the ultimate sacrifice. What's that? Himself. The blood of Jesus. So he had started him out on these blood offerings. But some just want to bring him anything. Cain just wanted to bring him whatever he wanted to bring him. Let me show you something real foolish. You bring God anything, show up any kind of way, anytime, anything, then you get mad at God and your brother. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. See, blood offerings get the greatest respect, saints, because that's God's way. God is all-knowing, and he knew at the end of the day, because of his great love for us, he would offer up himself. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus. So Cain gave God an improper offering and then got angry at God. And as we read further, we're going to see he got angry at his brother. Don't just give God anything and then be mad at God. Amen. That's weird. That's some weird human nature too. I remember one of my sons, his friends had wrote his name in the cement. And swore, no, we didn't do it, we didn't do it. And the people came to my house and they would say, okay, we're gonna file a police report case. Police came and, cause his name was in the cement of this brand new house. Well, it wasn't a brand new house, but they were rehabbing the house and they was, making everything new. And so I had cameras on the house. So I'm the computer man. So I got cameras. So I just asked my son, did you do that? He said, Daddy, now you know I didn't do that. I said, okay. They called me. I'm on the golf course. They called me. I come home and run the cameras. Sure enough, there's all his little friends back there. And it looked like they had lighters, but they had their phones. So they, because it was real dark, so they had their phones. I really couldn't see their face, but you know people's aura. I said, oh, I know who that is. I know who that is. But here was the money shot. So a car came. And when they heard a car come, they all ran out the front right in front of my camera that was in the front. So I called the police department. I said, hey, you know what? I got evidence. You got to get my name, son, off of all that mess. Okay? And I'm going to show you. And they came. They said, yes, Rudy, that's the money shot. You know, because I work with them. You know, I work with the police department, fire department, public work. They say that's the money shot. We'll clear out everything else. Amen. But here's my point. I said all that to say this. So one day I'm coming home from church. Great service. Amen. And his friends was out there. And they didn't want to speak. Now, Z done took these boys all kind of fishing, camping, let them all camp out in the backyard. And they didn't want to speak. And I jumped out that car. I said, y'all not going to speak? I said, let me ask you a question. Just tell me, because I wanted to make some sense. Amen. I said, how do you do something to somebody else and then don't speak to them? How do you do that? You're the one did wrong, and then the person didn't do nothing to you. You don't want to speak to them. That's what Cain was doing. It just brought that back to my memory. Huh? He wroth with God. He mad at God. All he had to do was bring God what he required. Why are you going to be mad? Oh, I'm not going to do your will, Lord. I'm going to do everything my way, and then I'm going to get mad at you. How foolish is that? Oh, my God. I'm getting upset again. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So Cain gave God the improper offering, then he gets angry at God and his brother. Some want to just really give God anything. He had an attitude again, like, you just should be glad I gave you anything, Lord. Don't serve God like that, saints. Because when the blessings don't flow, then you're going to get mad at God. Because you can't give God anything, feel everything and see that everything is going to work out for you. That ain't how it works. Why? Why don't it work like that? I'm going to tell y'all. You know why it don't work like that? Because sowing and reaping is in the earth. He made us the measuring stick to everything. So when you come to him, you can't complain, oh, God, it was you did this, my wife did this, my friends did this. But no, it's you. Amen. God gave us what we need, saints of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. I don't understand how people think like that, but guess what? God don't understand it either. Look at verse 6. Look what the Lord does. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you upset? I don't understand it. Neither does God understand it. Amen. He said, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Yeah. He don't get it. The measuring stick was on you, Cain. All you had to do was give me what I required of you, and I would respect your offering too. Yeah. I don't have respect to persons. I'm not going to take Pastor Maybell's offering and not take somebody else's offering. Yeah. I don't do that. Just give me what I require. Amen. He didn't understand it. Here is God, all-knowing. Is God all-knowing? Don't our God know everything? But yet and still, he don't understand this. He asking him a question. You know he know the answer already. But he's so merciful. He wants us to talk about things, get them out in the open, because he knows exactly what we need already. Look at God's advice in verse 7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? You just do what I'm telling you to do. My way. Don't you think I'm not going to, don't you know I'm going to accept your stuff? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Yes. Ooh, Lord have mercy. God told him, if you do well, which is do what I require, which was an animal sacrifice, I would have been pleased with that. But if you don't, then sin lieth at your door. You know why sin is lying at the door? Because you have no animal sacrifice. You have nothing for the remission of your sins. It's just like people who don't receive Christ. Sin is always lying at the door ready to pounce on them. Why? Because they have no remission. They have nothing to negate it. Huh? The blood sacrifices for the remission of sins. Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice is for the remission of sins. Oh, no, you think it's on you. It's not on you. Amen. It's just on you to do it God's way. All they had to do was the blood sacrifice back then. All we got to do is receive Christ as our Savior and Lord today. And our sins will be forgiven. Now that sin can't hang out at your door. Oh, Lord. I'm telling y'all some high-end truth right now. Amen. Sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. But see, once you receive Christ as your Savior and your Lord, yeah, that ultimate sacrifice, right, once you do that, then you have, and thou shalt rule over him. Now you can rule over sin. It no longer rules over you. Oh, you got to get your priorities straight. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But so many want to just offer God anything, whatever they feel like, rather than an offer that would please God. What's the offer that is pleasing to God? What is God's will today? True worshipers that worship him in spirit and in truth, doing it his way. That's it. What's the sacrifice today? That's the offering. What's the sacrifice? Himself and yourself. All right, we're going to read. We're going to finish. We're going to finalize that. We're going to prove that. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. We're talking about our worship is for real. I'm going to show you what it looked like. Huh? So that blessing that I spoke over you all, that God said, that's what I want you to do. The first thing I want you to do is speak a blessing over my people. I'm showing you how to get it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. What's the sacrifice today? Jesus Christ and you. Amen. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. That's like I beg you. You know, I'm urging you. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. What's the sacrifice?
Sacrifice.
Your bodies. Your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. What did I tell y'all it is?
Reasonable.
This what we're doing right now is nothing special. It's our reasonable. It's reasonable. We come here once a week for a couple hours and spend that little time to God, encouraging one another. Isn't that reasonable? Is that being unreal? God gives us all these hours, all week. He died for us. He feeds us. He clothes us. He gives us our provision. He takes care of us. And we can't come here 2 or 3 hours. He said, when you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Now, how do we get holy and acceptable? When we receive Christ. See, when we receive Christ, now we're holy. What does that mean? We're set aside for the use of God. We're no longer on our own will anymore. Amen. It's the will of the Lord, which is greatly and it's exciting. Yeah. Life in Christ is exciting.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. The devil is a liar. He'll make you think, oh, that's boring. Y'all not having no fun. That's the devil is a lie. Oh, this is so exciting, this life in Christ. Amen. You never lose. Can you imagine a life where you never lose? If you're up, you're winning. If you're down, you're really winning. Amen. Because his strength is made perfect in your weakness. So I don't care how down you are, how weak you are, God is resting on you. It don't get no better than that. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Under the old covenant, saints, God accepted the sacrifices of dead animals. Say amen to that. Amen. But because of Christ's ultimate sacrifice, those are no longer of any effect. For those in Christ, the only acceptable worship is to offer themselves completely to the Lord under God's control. Amen. Amen. Christ is the ultimate sacrifice. And that other stuff is no longer in effect. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. So it says, present your body to the Lord. And don't change up and conform and start getting involved with this world system. It's messed up. Yeah. It's going to fail. Oh, I know I'm telling the truth real good today. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Where's the battle? In the mind. How are you going to be transformed from this world that's so out of control? By renewing your mind constantly. What are we doing in here today? Renewing our minds. Oh, Lord have mercy. It's reasonable. It just makes sense. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yeah. See, the way we stay out of conforming to this world system, which is failing, is by renewing our minds, saints. And the Holy Spirit changes our thinking as we study and meditate on the scriptures. Yeah. It makes it good, acceptable, and perfect. It's the holy lifestyle God approves. Yeah. Huh? That's the offering that he wants. Us. It helps us to exercise sound judgment, make wise decisions. Now, I started out talking about how people have a tendency to think that their way is better than our way. Amen. But this scripture tells us God dealt to every man the measure of faith. Amen. All of us. We all have the measure. How's anybody else any different? That's what verse 3 says. It says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So you could think, well, our worship and the way we do this is greater and theirs is less, or they think theirs is greater. But he dealt us all the same thing. We all got the measure of faith. And God wants us to remain humble. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I'm working on that humility right now. Really, I'm looking at my wife a lot. I got a meeting coming up, and I got to eat about maybe 10 slices of humble pie before I go up in there. And I know that. Amen? Amen. Be humble. What did the Lord teach us last week? I'm going to tell you. When somebody bring you something and it might not agree with your spirit or whatever, here's the answer. I'm an inquirer of the Lord. Is that what we learned last week? Amen. Let me take that to the Lord, and then I'll get right back to you on that one. That's how you handle that. Amen. See, God orchestrates everything. He set it all up. Amen. He gets you ready before the battle. Amen. He don't wait till you get in a battle and start giving you revelation. No, he tell you what to do, and then the battle rages. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord. We all got a measure of faith. Amen. Nobody no greater than nobody. We all got the same measure of faith. Amen. Well, who's going to come out the greatest? The one who obey God. Y'all want the answer to that? Well, how is that working for you better than me? Okay, you can answer that question. Amen. I trust God. I believe God too. Do you obey him? Do you do it his way? Huh? Faith without works is dead. Can say whatever you want to say. Amen. Look at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we are all in the body of Christ. This is what we got to realize. But we don't all do the same thing. So just because some people do things one way and we do things another way, it doesn't make ours better or theirs better. As long as it's pleasing to God. Look at verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So we one body of Christ, and we all love each other. We all members of each other. Huh? That's why it's important for us to come together, encourage one another, love on one another. Amen. Pray for one another. Hey, we know what to pray for. Amen. Intercede for one another. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 6, saints. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. See, whatever our gift is, we should be using it according to the proportion of faith. Look at verse 7. Or ministry, let us wait on ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Now, this is just straight up wisdom from God, because many want to jump into ministry. They really think that's what they want to do. Amen. Oh, I want to be in ministry. I want to do. But the scripture tells you to wait on that. Why does it tell you to wait? Oh, he want to fully equip you before you step out in front of his people. Amen. He got to get you right. Oh, and that take time. I know I sat under Pastor Brian for 7 years going to every service. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And giving God what he required while I was there. Amen. Oh, I waited. I didn't know I was waiting. Huh? I just thought I was just being a good Christian and loving the services and loving the people of God and enjoying what was going on. I didn't know about all this. Huh? That wasn't what I aspired to do. This wasn't on my bucket list. Amen. It was not. I had a whole nother plan. Oh, thank you. But God, I'm so glad he put me where I supposed to be. Oh, that lines up with that word I just spoke to y'all. See, when you steadily studying the scriptures, steadily praying, steadily being in the services, doing it, God, giving God his way, presenting your body a living sacrifice, he'll take you and put you where you're supposed to be. You ain't got to worry about that. Some kind of way, you're going to end up where you're supposed to be in him, whatever it is he has for you. Oh, glory to God. Say hallelujah to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, he's worthy. He's so worthy. Look what this says. It says, or he that exhorteth, or exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. See, the gift of exhortation helps other believers to follow God's truth. Amen. When you encourage them. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Love without dissimulation. You know what that is? Real love. Like our worship. It's for real. It's sincere. That's what it's saying. Let love be without dissimulation. Let it be sincere. See, Christian love is pure. It's agape. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad God gave me that name. But the people were saying, you just got such love. I didn't know all that. Amen. I was just walking in the word and trying to be pleasing to the Lord. Amen. That's the main thing. Just present your body a living sacrifice. Believe me, God will take care of everything else. But our love is pure, saints. It's not self-centeredness or guile. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This reminds me of that revelation that God gave me about all these hang-ups that we have. That's what I'm talking about today, too. I just brought this back to my remembrance. Because, you know, it's just hang-ups that make you think what they're doing is better than what I'm doing. And they say, well, what they're doing is better than you're doing. See how confusing that is? Yes. Amen. You can come. So we have our service, right? And let's say you go to another service. I've seen people do this. And they say, well, they do this and this and this. And sometimes some of it is good. Some of it is great ideas. Yes. You know, But don't lessen what we do. Amen. Don't do that. I hope when you over there, you bragging about what we do. When you come back here, you bragging about I don't know. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. But here's what I said all that to say this right here. God said, Rudy, it's not about black and white. It's not about tall and short, fat and skinny, good hair and bad hair, because we got a lot of hang-ups. Y'all got some more light skin and dark skin, Jew or Gentile, whatever other hang-ups we got. Rich or poor. Come on, Minister Lisa. Amen. It's not about all that. We think it is. We have all these different hang-ups. But you know what it is with God? Is it good or is it evil? That's it. But the Satan will play with all your hang-ups. If you like to be in color and play the color game, he'll give you that. That's what he's doing with the world right now. That's why we don't agree with the rudiments of this world. Huh? That's why we don't do it, because that's what they're doing right now. Oh, see, he a racist. He this, he that, blah, blah, blah. But God. Is it good or is it evil? That's all I'm looking at. Look at verse 10. This is the final verse, saints. It says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. See, God wants us to care for each other and have brotherly love. That's why I love God's kingdom. I love the body of Christ. Amen. Because we should be loving each other with brotherly love and caring for one another and encouraging one another. That's what we should be doing. Amen. Not talking about, well, you do this and we. It's love. Be kindly affectionate one to another. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which, all those things. Amen. In honor, preferring one another. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. We're not conforming to the rudiments of this world. Yes. He wants us to worship him, yes, in spirit and in truth. Yes. Our worship is for real. Say amen to that. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What does this say? Psalms. I want to say this is a verse in Psalms. It says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Spirit and truth. That's the beauty of holiness. Set aside for him. That's how you worship him. Give him your body, a living sacrifice. It's all saying the same thing. Amen. He gave himself for us. Well, he wants that in return. He set it up with the blood sacrifice. Amen. You want everything. You want everything. You want blood? Yes. I want everything. I got another scripture here. I'm just going to read from the program. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. Why did he tell Satan to get behind him? Huh? Why did Jesus tell Satan to get behind me? Because Satan was trying to get Jesus to worship him. Right. Just like he tried to get us to worship him.
That's right.
Huh? And he said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Spirit and in truth. That's just the truth. Amen. Anything else, get behind me. Can't get my worship. Amen. To God be all of it. To God be all the glory. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you do. You're awesome. You're mighty. You know what we need before we even ask you, Lord. It's a pleasure to serve you. We've given our lives to you, Lord, a living sacrifice. Now have your way with us, Lord. Not our will, but your will be done, Father. Lead us in that path of righteousness, Lord. For your name's sake. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We forever give you the glory and praise and honor. This is not toiling to us. This is reasonable to us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for just everything you're doing for all your people, the whole body of Christ. Get us on one accord. Get us all to think in oneness, Lord. Yes. Newness of mind and based on your word. And I pray that prayer in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.